Welcome to By the Sword, where we discuss the modern study of historical European martial arts, or HEMA, with instructors, experts, and martial artists from all over the world. For the first episode of 2023, I meet designer Veronica Young of Cryptid Combat Wear in Atlanta, Georgia, USA. We discuss her tournament experience, as well as the chest protector that she has designed exclusively for HEMA fencers who have breasts. The episode was recorded 8th January 2023.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Hi, Veronica. So, my guest today, hello, is Veronica Young of Cryptid Combat Wear. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Really excited.
So, those of you who are joining us now, we're just going to be talking for the next 45 minutes to an hour about Veronica and her baby. Veronica is a CEO, founder of Cryptid Combat Wear, and has just launched a Kickstarter for her product, which is a fencing chest protector. Mm-hmm. But before we go into that, I'd just like to get your background as a HEMA fencer. So tell us, Veronica, how you got into HEMA.
Sure. So really, when I was looking around, I was trying to like get in shape, you know, all that kind of stuff. I wanted like, you know, to find a friend group and everything. And so back in 2019, I was looking around like, hey, martial arts might be fun. And the gym that I was looking at had historical fencing. And I was like, that's it. I'm doing it. That sounds like the thing for me. And so it was actually my New Year's resolution in 2019 to start. And so actually just, I think it was January 6th was my 4-year like HEMA birthday.
Nice. Your HEMAversary.
You've yes.
celebrated 4 years. Awesome. So whereabouts in the United States are you?
So I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and the club that I go to is the Atlanta Historical Fencing Academy.
Okay, and so 4 years, I guess that you mostly do German longsword, is that correct?
Yeah, so German longsword, I've been doing that most of the time, though over the last couple of years I added, so it's Meyer longsword, and so I added quarterstaff as well as sword and buckler and rapier and dagger.
Of course, that's quite a varied scope of stuff that you study.
Yeah.
And is it all in the sort of Meyer school?
For the most part, we branch out a little bit. Like for sword and buckler, we do like Lignitzer as well as like I-33 too, and like we bring sources in from other places. But it usually starts at Meyer, basically.
And you started out with longsword and you've branched out into other weapon styles. What's your favorite?
I think my favorite weapon style is, it's got to be a toss-up between quarterstaff and longsword. Longsword because I've been doing it the longest and so like makes the most sense to me, but I really love quarterstaff, which for Meyer, quarterstaff is like the basis of training for like pole arms and spears and stuff. And so like all of that kind of stuff is like a lot of fun. So
it is. Yeah. Yeah. The big weapons are always fun and different, and there's a lot you can do. So that's your, delve into, just remind us of the name of your club once more.
Yeah. It's the Atlanta Historical Fencing Academy. Pre-COVID we were the Atlanta Fry Factors, but we kind of changed our name.
I was going to say, I recognize Atlanta Fry Factors, so that's you've changed your name. So that's your background. You've been doing it four years almost exactly. And you're also a designer. And that time that you've been studying historical fencing, you've realized that there is a requirement, at least for chest protection for women. And before we go on to talk about your product, tell me how you got into design and what your background is in that.
Yeah, sure. So design is actually my day job. I went to, graduated from the Georgia Institute of Technology with a degree in industrial design. And so that's more a little bit around like product making and product making for companies and stuff like physical products. But right now I moved into like digital product design. So more UX UI work, which is like development of apps and websites and things. So that's really my day job. And I always loved like creating things, getting hands-on. So like pre-COVID, and then I'm trying to get back into it now. I did actually a lot of cosplay too, just because that was like fun getting to make things, like all that kind of good stuff. But yeah, that's, I've been doing it for, wow, over a decade now, probably 12 years.
So your background is in industrial design. You're more recently been making digital products.
Yeah.
But you have this urge to get back into the sort of using your hands and making physical products.
Well, and the great thing about design is that regardless of what the end product is, the beginning part of it, the figuring out what the problem is, trying to figure out how to solve it, that's all the same regardless of what you end up with. Which is, so it's a lot of fun to say like, okay, well, I'm using the same methodologies in my day job as, you know, making physical products for fencing.
I think this is really interesting because you're a designer and you're an engineer. Your brain is going to work differently to people like the rest of us who are just basic consumers of stuff. Like we see a problem and we go, all right, I need a product to, to achieve whatever it is I need to achieve. And we're kind of like, well, what shall I buy? And your brain goes, what shall I make?
Right. Or like, yeah, how can I solve this? And so that's really like how the chest protector kind of came to be. Chest protection, at least for me, I always like wearing it just because, you know, you get hit with a thrust, it's going to hurt. But if you've got something, you know, hard underneath there, it's going to be fine. And there is nothing on the market for people with breasts for chest protection. It's, I mean, there are some, but it's garbage.
Okay. I mean, I was going to ask you, one of my questions was going to be, you know, what's wrong with what's already out?
Yeah, so many things. I mean, you know, you've got two options for chest protection if you have breasts. So you either go and you get the one that's got like the two individual boob cups and hope to God that that one size that they sell it in fits you around the outside, but then also your boobs manage to fit into there. And then the other one is you buy a men's chest protector and then you have to like cut it down. Like when I bought a men's chest protector and I basically took all the straps off, I put it in the oven so that the plastic would melt and reheat and then formed it to myself. And that was still not, it was better than it was before, but it still wasn't great. And so just with all of that, like, you know, when you're fencing and you have boobs, you don't go braless, you have a sports bra on. And so the two individual boob cups, like that's not how that works. So you just have two cups sitting on top of you and like getting pushed into you. And that just like hurts really bad.
The long sort of accepted theory about the two individual cups model is not only is that not practical, but it also is dangerous because that sort of curve shape means that you've got a weakness in between, in the sort of valley in between, right over your sternum, right over your breastbone where your heart is.
Right.
The idea being that that is like a really bad idea because the whole thing is going to snap it on that point of weakness. I personally did the sort of second option, which you said, which is to take a flat chest protector. And I took some like foam and just lined the back of the inside of it with the foam. And that's what I've had for 12 years. It's pretty tatty and I could probably do with making a new one. But, you know, it works for me and that's fine. But, you know,
you had to go out and build something. And so that's honestly most women on the market. So one of the things that, you know, in design, which you do to start with is when you're thinking, hey, I've got this problem, how can I fix it? Is you do market research, you figure out what is out there. And so with a lot of the research I did, I looked at, I mean, you know, literally historical suits of armor, like how chest plates were made. But then also like what is offered to people with breasts nowadays, but then also in the like HEMA hacks. There's like a Facebook page for like HEMA hacks and stuff. And so I went on there and was like, okay, how did people hack together better breastplates? And so, you know, what worked, what didn't, you know, where were people's brains at? And so really the biggest issue that is solved in historical armor that's not solved in, you know, current armor, especially for women, is that in historical armor, in the chest plates, it's actually at the top. It's actually really thin at the top and then eventually bottoms out and gives you a lot of space around your armpit, because typically you wore pauldrons or you had chainmail on underneath that would protect that particular area. In HEMA, we don't really have that. And so all of the chest protectors, even men's chest protectors, do this and can be really uncomfortable, where it's too far close to your armpit. And so when you're, especially when you're doing longsword, you've got your arms together and you're trying to swing. And now all of that is pinching right at your armpits because it's not flexing, it's not doing anything. And that problem is, increased tenfold for people with breasts, because we've got a lot of complex curves up here. And so if you have something flat, it's going to stick up even more. And then now it's even more of an impedance.
Yeah. The trouble with doing the sort of having a guy's chest protector, if you have a large bosom, the flat piece of plastic is just going to be extended out in front of you at like this, rather than sort of fitting to your body. So it makes you an even bigger target. If you've got small boobs, fine, you can get by, but even then it's not ideal. It's manageable at best.
Realistically. Go ahead.
I was gonna say HEMA Hacks is a Facebook group that I created like 8 years ago, and the idea is just like top tips, like how to stop your jacket from smelling and stuff like this.
Yeah.
And it's kind of grown into like, and it made me realize over time that it isn't just, how to look after your kit better. It's like how to make your kit work, how to make it do what you want it to do. So what you end up with like people making all kinds of armor out of objects, basically, or modifying the existing products that are on the market. And really, you want to have stuff that you can just get off the shelf and it fits and it works. Yes. I mean, that is the holy grail. But unfortunately, with such a niche hobby, lifestyle, passion, whatever you want to call it, sport, that we have to borrow and modify everything for the individual from every kind of sport and activity that's out there. Because, there's a lot of... manufacturers more and more appearing every day, like yourself, but they have quite the task on their hands to try and make the stuff fit and work. If it doesn't fit, it's not going to work. So
absolutely. And one of the things that I kind of came into this with, and I think maybe like to toot my own horn here a little bit, what sets me and kind of my company apart is that, one, I am an actual professional designer, so like it's literally my job to do this. But a lot of the gear that has been designed for, like you said, like smaller hands, smaller bodies, people with breasts, like all that kind of stuff. Basically what happens is a man typically will just take the men's version and mold it into what they think is a woman's shape without kind of doing any type of research about it, and then go, okay, that's cool. And, that's kind of how we get a lot of stuff where, it works enough or it works okay. But it really decreases, like part of this is also like it decreases the ability for people with breasts to get into the sport in the first place.
Yeah.
Because if we don't have gear that fits us well and we're tanking hits without proper gear, that kind of sucks.
Yeah. I think it's such a huge hurdle to a lot of people who are like smaller assigned female at birth people, like ourselves. For example, when I got gloves that actually fit me and works, my fencing just went up like this. Yep. Like, I was plateauing for ages of thinking I was a really shit fencer for a long, long time. No, my gear sucked.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I wasn't terrified of having my hands broken and I could, try stuff out without fear of being seriously injured, suddenly it's like, actually, I'm not that bad,
Yeah.
You're an engineer, you're a designer, you saw a problem. Was there a pivotal moment that you can recall where you were like, I'm going to make a product and it's going to
be? Yeah. For full disclosure, and so kind of through this process, I've been doing this for about a year and a half now. I think I first had the idea of like, I'm going to fix this back in like June of 2021-ish. So I actually had a breast reduction at the beginning of last year. I was a 32i.
Oh, wow.
Which, if you don't know, chest sizes or anything, the way that bra sizes work is 32 is your band size, and then the letter is the difference in between what the measurement is around like the center of your breasts and everything to your band size. And so that is a 9-inch difference. Whoa. 9 or 10 inch difference. So it was bad.
That and so is, because that's major surgery.
Yes. I'm a lot better now. And it was my surgeon, as a tangent, my surgeon called it like, oh, are you going to send me more people to get performance enhancing HEMA surgery? Because and my shoulders didn't hurt anymore. I wasn't having neck pain. I could actually hold my arms up for longer than 10 minutes. But because of that, because I was so big, no gear fit me at all. Like even less so than it does even more so than it does today. And so I had put my chest protector on. It was the one that I had put in the oven, re-sewed the straps and everything, and was free fencing with it. And I kept coming out with bruises on the inside of my biceps from even with all of the work that I had done to try to make this men's chest protector work. I was still getting bruises from my own fencing. And then I had the realization, Veronica, you're a designer. You can fix this. Like, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to wait for somebody else. Like, you can do this. And so I figured, I was like, okay, you know what? I don't know if this is going to go anywhere, but at the very least, I'm going to make a better chest protector for myself. And so back in, June of 2021 is kind of when it started of just like doing all of the research. And then I went through 4 iterations of different designs to get it to work and tested each one of those chest protector designs on myself in real free fencing to see, you know, where I was getting hit. You know, was the plastic thick enough? Was like the foam pads, like, were they, you know, good? Could I get it on and off pretty easily? Just like kind of going through that entire process to kind of get to this 4th and final version that we have today.
So you were the guinea pig all the way through. Did you have anyone else testing the product with you, or was it just you?
So it was just me for the longest time, because I was just like, you know what, I'm going to make sure this is good before I subject anybody else to this. But once I was really confident in the product, I had 3 or 4, probably close to 5 or 6 people out in Denver that went and tested it, free fenced with it and everything. Like Jason Behrens and everybody out there went and tested it. And then I sent one to Mariana Lopez up in D.C., and so her and a couple people from her club tested it as well. I got a lot of amazing feedback on like putting it on, making sure it was fitting correctly, and all of those kinds of things. And so kind of incorporating that into like the kind of the final design that I'll send to the manufacturers. Honestly, here probably after King's Cup within the next couple of weeks.
Awesome. So can you tell us, like we talked a little bit about, you know, the 2 options. You've got the booby design, as we'll call it, the booby design, and you've got the male one. What is different? And you said that the existing ones that are on the market are crap. What is different about your product, and why should we buy it?
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, there's no individual boobs on them. Done away with that. And so the way that the design looks, and I'll grab the third version that I have here in a second, but basically the plastic conforms to a body with breasts that is just a body that has more curves on the top. And so you're not, getting shoehorned into one type of cup design. But additionally, the way that the plastic sits, it sits and protects your like sternum and the big part of your area, the big part of your chest a lot more. But there is foam padding near the shoulders. So it is, you know, when you're talking about total coverage, you know, you are sacrificing a little bit of that plastic total coverage. But when I'm in full kit and wearing the chest protector, I can cross my arms like this because the foam is, you know, bending, contracting such that I don't feel that it's there, but open up my chest back up again. And now I have this impact rated foam ready to go. Let me go grab right here. I have it right behind me.
Awesome.
So I said I went through 4 versions. This is the 3rd version. All of the 4th versions that I have made have gone to other people. So we're looking at the 3rd version right now. But this is the one that I have literally been wearing for about 1.5 years, literally since I started it. So got this here. In this version, this plastic comes up really, really high. And I realized it shoved my gorget up. And so I just deal with it right now. But I was like, if this is a product for other people, we shouldn't be doing this. Mm-hmm. But you can, as you can see kind of in here, it fits the shape of my, like my upper body, but there's not individual cups or anything.
So what I'm just going to describe to the podcast listeners who may not have seen the video. So we got like, it looks like 2 layers, like a sort of soft fabric slash foam layer behind a hard plastic shiny layer on the front. Mm-hmm. Now, are both layers stab proof, essentially? Are both layers for comfort?
So this is an eighth inch of ABS plastic, and in the final version, it's going to be polypropylene, which is even more stab and impact resistant. This is just regular cotton right now, mostly because it is, I tried so hard to find impact, like, or the Newton rated fabric, could not find it anywhere. But I found, just because it's already underneath the gambeson, the fabric doesn't necessarily need to be impact rated. So it's fine. So the foam...
what I'm trying to say is, if you were to take a thrust on the softer part of that mm-hmm. front plate, would it be sort of less painful?
Oh yeah. So one of the so Mackenzie Ewing is part of our club, and so he'll come back and fight and whatever. And so obviously he's really good. He would land thrusts here in the fabric, and you can't really feel it because it's not with the getting hit with a thrust like on the plastic, obviously it's going to disperse the force a whole lot better, but hitting it here, it just felt like somebody pushed into me and pushed me back a little bit, just like if somebody took their finger just went push. So I can still feel it, you know, through my gambeson because you wear this underneath, but it didn't hurt at all, no bruising, nothing. And so it just kind of validated that like this works the way that it's supposed to.
Excellent. Just talking about longsword fences and having chest protection, I was shocked because I've got a side swords and rapier background. Longswords mm-hmm. are something that I came to a lot later. And so I was always wearing a chest protector, and I just kind of assumed that everybody was. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I met a bunch of longsword fences and I realized not everybody wears them, especially guys. Yeah. And some women don't wear chest protectors. And I was like, what? You know, the long swords are like, you know, you're using two hands, the thrusts are going to hurt even more.
Yeah.
It really surprised me.
Yeah, and it surprises me too, but with talking with people of, who doesn't wear chest protection, you talk with them and it's because it's so uncomfortable. Right. Like, it doesn't feel like it's made for them, or it doesn't feel like it's made for their size. And so because of that, you know, they just opt to not wear them. I know that
it's that bad that they'd rather not wear them. It's just that much of a hindrance.
At least from the people that I've talked to, and especially even for guys too that I've talked to of who don't wear chest protection, it just doesn't fit them. Because even with guys' chest protection, the top of it comes kind of out and around. And so it's, if you're not the exact size frame of like 6'2" man that has that correct size, it's not going to work for you either. But where this is a little different is the fabric under part is part of it. So first off, it's washable. You can take all of the stuff out and wash the fabric. But the way that the straps and the sides work is the straps up top, they're big straps like this that have Velcro. And so what you can do is change the strap length to exactly what you need it to be. And so, you know, let's say that's why we're only advertising, you know, four sizes, is because with those four sizes, you can get it to meet exactly your size because it's adjustable. So the top straps are adjustable, and then the side straps, because it's little, it goes on here. It goes on like a police vest, like a bulletproof vest. And then
it reminds me of a police vest.
Yeah. And so I actually looked at like military and police vests too, to see how they work, which I will also say there is not good like bulletproof vests for women either, for people with breasts in like military and police either. They're just stuck with the same like crap that the guys
you
have
see
to
see them
with.
Like turtles with their heads sort of stuck inside like this. Mm-hmm. It looks really poorly fitting, to be true.
Yeah, absolutely. And so,
the shoulder straps, did you say earlier that those are protective as well? So if you take a thrust in that area, it's got some protection?
These aren't protective, no. So the protective parts of this are the plastic piece that's in the center.
Okay.
And then the foam padding that's kind of on the side too.
But yeah, what's really nice about the straps is, it compared to the women's chest protectors now, they're like bras. They've got that awful slider that's down your back, on the back of your shoulder, that you can't reach.
Yep.
You have to take the thing off to adjust it. And so you have to keep checking, is it the right size kind of thing? Whereas that, you just make it fit you as you put it on, which is brilliant.
Part of the issue with this one is these straps are too long. But yeah, so you can pull it off and just attach it where you need to and readjust it how you need to from the front.
Awesome. So that's the third generation.
Yeah, this is the third generation. It's effectively the same as the fourth generation. The only difference is that this comes to about here-ish. It's about, you know, inch and a half lower, which I found that, you know, when you've got the gorget on with all of the different types of gorget, it typically protects that a little bit better. And so there's a lot less interference between your gorget, because with this, it kind of, it sticks up just a little bit with because of the padding. And so it just was jamming it in into my gorget.
Okay. And do you think the fourth one is the final one, or are you going to just keep going?
So I think with this, what my plan is that the fourth one is the one, you know, that I'll, you know, kind of release and everything along those lines. And a big thing in design is kind of iterations. And so what my hope is that kind of moving forward, you know, I get people in it, get people testing it, and then hopefully I can, you know, maybe adjust for some sizing issues if there are any sizing issues. I know that I want to make one for men as well, just because men deserve good chest protection too.
Just headed off my next question.
Sorry.
It's okay.
At this point, it kind of goes into the whole spiel. Like you said, this is my baby. So, I've thought about this so many times. Kind of just going through that and figuring out like, hey, you know, if the foam, if it doesn't go far enough down the side, or if people want more side protection, like rib protection, you know, is there a way that I can add that onto either the existing design or like kind of make a new design, new iteration to add that in? Hopefully, I'll get all of them out and I'll be hearing, hopefully I can hear from as many people as I can to see, you know, what their thoughts are, what they like about it, what they don't like about it, and can work and continue iterating, because, you know, everybody deserves good, you know, fencing gear. And, you know, we've got a lot of good stuff for, you know, kind of the male population. And so I want to have that same thing for either the female or the people with breasts side of the population.
Yeah. I mean, we were saying that gear is what holds people back, particularly women and femme folks. But you know, the fact that HemaHax is so busy kind of shows that everyone suffers from crappy gear. You can make nice chest protectors for the guys as well, and everybody benefits. So going back to your sort of campaign, you did a Kickstarter recently. I think it just finished recently.
Yep.
You managed to raise a whopping $10,000, which is like 24% of your flexible goal of just over $40,000. So what is the next step from there?
Yeah, sure. So real quick, the USD, or at least what I see on my side, it raised about $12,500 US. Awesome. With our goal was $50,000 US. I will say I did get some external funding, so that number is actually about $22,500 was raised from this. And so about a little under half of the goal that we were looking at. So very excited about that. Kind of next steps moving forward, now that the campaign is over, is that really I'm just going to start taking that and going to the manufacturer. So first step is the thermoforming manufacturer that I've sourced kind of here in Atlanta, and going to go to them, because that's where a lot of the cost is because with making the plastic on top right now, how I'm doing it is I'm putting the flat plastic into my oven and then shaping it over a dress form that I have. But doing it, you know, professionally, I made a 3D model of it, and I'll send that, and the plastic manufacturers will tool out a nice form that's correct. And they'll be able to, you know, stamp them and everything together. And so once that's done and I have those in hand, I'll be able to give those to my apparel manufacturers, and they'll be able to put them together much better than I am.
So when do you plan to go into production?
I mean, as soon as possible. I was going to wait until after King's Cup, so after MLK Day here in the U.S. And so, you know, take a week or two to kind of get all my ducks in a row, and then try to get started on some of this stuff. My goal is to try to be shipping everybody's chest protection out at the beginning of next year. But we'll see what happens with lead times and everything. But based off of the manufacturers that I've contacted and gotten quotes from, it seems that it'll be, I can be the way that I'm handling it, that'll be about exactly a year.
Exactly, yeah. So we are halfway through. Folks who are watching at home, listening in, there's four of you at the moment. If you have any questions for Veronica or anything about HEMA, anything about the chest protector itself, I'm sure you've got your questions about this product, do pop us a question. So if you go look at the bottom of your phone screen, there is a speech bubble with a question mark in it. Just tap that button, add in your question, and we will read it out. Or if you just want to add it in the comments, we will. I'll scroll through and see if I can find anything in there. So while we're waiting to see what folks come up with, my next question for you is, like, you got production in about a year, almost a year exactly. What is your sort of goal with this? Is you know, necessity is the mother of invention. Of course, you needed a chest protector. You made a chest protector. You know, you've done a Kickstarter, a fundraiser, you're going to be making them professional products. Is the aim to set up your own company, or is this just going to be a side hustle for now?
I mean, both. So, I mean, obviously I'm going to keep my day job, but I fully intend to kind of set this up as a company. And so we'll see how the next year goes with manufacturing and working with these manufacturers and kind of what opportunities come up. But I would love to be able to do like an Indiegogo or a Kickstarter like every other year for new gear. And so I think the next two on my hit list are men's chest protection, so making a men's version, and then leg protection, like legs and knees. There's so many different options, but none of it seems to like hit right.
Good use of a pun there. Oh my goodness, say
that was intentional.
I was gonna say, like, the holy grail is gloves for small hands.
Yeah,
you know, like the Pro Gauntlet was something like 8-10 years in production, and still, you know, still an ongoing project to get gloves that work well. Would gloves ever be something that you'd be interested to look at, or like, no, I'm not going there, someone else can deal with that?
Honestly, yeah, gloves I think is the third thing on the list. Is gloves is next, just because I was looking at, you know, all of the HEMA gear that we have, like everything that you are like required to wear for tournaments and stuff, and then thinking like, okay, what has things that people can buy that are good enough? And, you know, the next, chest protection was like the first thing on the list, is nobody has anything that's good enough. And then the next thing on the list was leg protection. And so we're starting to get a few manufacturers who are putting out leg protection, but from what I've seen, it just kind of mimics leg protection from other sports. And I would love to take a look at what I can do from a design perspective of like what truly are the needs of HEMA and the way that we fence in tournaments and free fence, that we might need to change the design of that to fit it a little better. But then, yeah, absolutely, next is gloves, because my Spez Heavies, I have to keep repairing them because my hands are small. I wear extra small Spez Heavies, and when I close my hand, the top two rivets pop out, and I have to keep replacing them.
I've interviewed Bohurt folks on here before.
Oh, wow.
And like, you know, that's a whole other sort of parallel universe to the HEMA community, but very, very similar. And they kind of, like, are their own mechanics. So because you know, we are fencing as if we are unarmored. We're fencing as if we have no armor on Blosvecten, as if we're just like civilian fencers who are fighting for whatever reason it is. It's a very elaborate LARP that we're doing. But the Bohurt folks, they are wearing armor, and armor is ablative to a degree. Like, it's gonna bust instead of you. So they have to like continuously maintain their gear. And, you know, we've got a similar kind of task in our hands, but obviously we're not using metal, we're using plastic, we're using very modern materials. So it's like that whole kind of hacks, you know, maintaining your gear, being your own squire kind of thing. It's an interesting one, because they basically accept, like, this is my gear, it's gonna get broken, I have to fix it. Whereas we're like, no, our stuff sucks, we need better stuff. Or is it simply a case of, you know, protective gear is a consumable product, like, just like swords are consumable products, they will break.
Yeah,
they're not gonna last, you know, the 10 generations of your family, they will bust. And you will have to replace them like every 3 years, whatever. The blades will break and you'll need to get a new one. So, you know, do you think, you know, products are gonna be more like replaceable, or should it be a case of, here's a thing, it works, stick with it?
I think for like gambesons and pants, I think we're never really going to truly get away from the like you have to just buy a new one when you need a new one, like you said with swords. But one of the big things that I was thinking about when built when putting together this chest protector, and then I'm going to try to take with me moving forward, is that kind of maintenance replaceable parts. So, you know, part of the benefit of this being, you know, designing it to be washable is also the fact that the foam comes out and the plastic comes off, which means if something happens and like the foam rips, you can just come to the website and buy more foam. Or if the plastic breaks, you can just come to the website and buy another piece of plastic. You don't have to buy an entirely new one. And that's kind of the plan moving forward, to be able to offer that kind of thing. Because you're right, being able to maintain your own gear, the HEMA is already an expensive sport. Like, just to get started doing like basic calculations of like kind of base level, this is gonna protect you, it's probably gonna be fine, is like close to $1,000, like US dollars, to even get into the sport in the first place. And so rather than having the HEMA gear be a treadmill of constantly buying new gear, if you can keep it up and maintain it for longer, the financial burden becomes less, which also then lessens the barrier to entry too.
Absolutely. We got a question in the question box from, I love this name, Big Queer Brute. Is there somewhere that we can check for updates on the production process as the year goes on? So this is following your statement that in a year's time you will be going into production.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'm going to be updating both the website, the Indiegogo page, and the Facebook page that I have for all of this. And so if you're on the Indiegogo, if you're following it, or if you've donated, you're going to get emails every time I post an update or anything. But also cryptidcombatwear.com is the website where all of this stuff is going to go up. I haven't updated the website just yet since the campaign ended, but that's on my to-do list for this week.
So cryptidcombatwear.com, go and check it out, subscribe, bookmark it, and follow. Jana says, Jana the Hut says, hey, new gloves, please. And I'm here for new gear innovators in HEMA. Absolutely, bless them all. So what you were saying about replacing parts and stuff, that's something that currently a lot of manufacturers out there offer anyway, which is it's a bit of an old school way. Like in like modern consumer society, we're kind of used to like, oh, I bought this thing, it doesn't work anymore, chuck it away and get a new one, like kind of disposable kind of consumerism. But of course now, like we're a lot more eco-conscious about, you know, wasting things and replacing stuff. So the idea of replacing parts is like going back to a sort of older way of dealing with broken items. Like you would say, like you've got the refrigerators from the 70s, like still going and stuff like that. But yeah, I think a lot of my, one that springs to mind is sparring gloves in Poland, which is another like one woman operation. As far as I know, it's just Barbara making all of these amazing gloves. And those are the ones that I have subscribed to. And she's always been a kind of lovely person. And in terms of like, I go, my God, my gloves are, you know, something wrong with them, they've worn out, whatever. She goes, just send them back and I'll replace them, or I will repair. She'll either repair or replace them. No questions asked. Like, and this has been going on for years. She was just always, you know, just continuously there, doing stuff like that. And Pro Gauntlet is another example. Like they're like the highly engineered gloves, like almost over-engineered gloves, someone might say. And they've got like all these different parts that you maintain and repair and replace yourself, so you are again like the Bohurt folks, like being your own mechanic kind of thing. Can't remember what I was going to ask you there.
Yeah, it's I'm really liking the kind of movement and push back into the kind of a lot of the right to repair bills that are happening for like cell phones and technology and everything. But there's actually a term of this for that kind of a thing in design, and I'm blanking on what the term actually is, but it's the idea that you can plan for the object to fail. And so depending on how expensive the object is or what it's designed to do, that object, the designer could say, okay, I'm planning for this to last 50 years, or I'm planning for this to last 2 years. So that like $9 coffee pot that you bought at, Walmart, it's got a planned obsolescence. That's what it is.
That's
It's got a
exactly.
planned obsolescence for, it's going to last you 2 years, and then the heating element's going to burn out because, that you didn't use good enough materials, or they were just like, you know what, if this is on for X amount of time, it's going to burn through the plastic. And you know what? That's fine because we're selling this for $9. So we're not going to put that much effort into it. And so I really, when you're talking about, kind of old school versus like where we're at now, where it's like, oh, it's broken, throw out, get a new one. The planned obsolescence like timeline has gotten shorter and shorter and shorter. And I'm hoping for HEMA gear, we can kind of start bringing that and opening it back up again. Just because also like if you're repairing the gear that you use to sword fight with, you feel kind of cool. At least I do.
Or you want to get someone else to do it, you know, and
Right.
then
Yeah,
charge the
absolutely. Yeah.
price.
I'm effectively my club's armorer. So like when somebody's glove busts or like somebody needs like a new piece of like elastic to put in their gloves, it's like, Veronica, can I have your stuff, please? Can you fix this for me? I'm like, yes, absolutely. I love doing this.
Every club has got that one girl or guy who they go to. In my club is like a retired chap called John, and he's like always in his shed tinkering with stuff. And I've got these swords here that he's repaired, like
That's awesome.
the cracked, and he's repaired the hilts and he's rewrapped the hilts. These are the club swords, and he loves it. Like, you know, there's always someone who loves repairing things, and there's those of us who don't, quite frankly. But you know, I can clean my sword about once a year. I'm terrible for that kind of stuff. But yeah, there's
Oh
always
man,
a person.
I wish that I could only clean my sword once a year. Here down in Atlanta, because the humidity is so bad year
Right.
round, if you don't clean that once a week, it's gonna turn brown.
You're gross.
Yeah, we call it doing poison damage. It's like you're adding poison damage to your attacks. Like, please, I don't want to get tetanus from this.
Biological warfare. Okay, sorry, my phone just cut out then.
You're good.
Good. So I think that concludes our chat about the Cryptid Combat Wear Chest Protector. Can't wait to see it on the market in a year's time. Look forward to the updates. Go follow, what's the name of your Instagram handle here?
So it's Design Cryptid HEMA here and on TikTok. I'll probably post stuff there as well. And then it's Cryptid Combat Wear on Facebook.
Cryptid Combat Wear. So look out for Cryptid Combat Wear. Veronica Young, thank you so much for joining me. Look forward to seeing what you produce in the future.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. This was a lot of fun.
You're welcome. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. To show your appreciation, please give us a 5-star review on your podcast platform, or support our work by becoming a patron at patreon.com/swordwomen. Go to @swordwomen on Instagram to see upcoming interviews, or visit buythesword.net to learn about our events, or visit our Facebook page, By the Sword.